Today's program is brought to you by TechServe. For more information, visit techserve.com.
Hi, everybody. You tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money. Making it, spending it, saving it. What to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman.
Afternoon.
And in the booth, our illustrious engineer, Joe. Joey G.
Hello.
Hi, Joey G, with a weak mic.
Hello.
There we go. Everything's in order now. We broadcast live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5, and if you can't tune in while we're streaming live, all shows are archived on our website, so you can listen anytime, all the time, or you can download a free podcast from iTunes and... what else? And so if we'd like to hear from you during the show, if you have any questions or comments, give us a call or email us at
718-497-2128.
Or you can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.com. Joe would love to take your call, your email, and read it to us on air. So today our show is about the revolution, college tuition revolution.
What does that mean?
It was inevitable. Well, the cost of college tuition has surpassed every other commodity that we buy in this country in the past 10 years. It has soared. Healthcare costs soared 250% since the beginning of this century, and college tuition has soared 450%. So how long can people take it? I mean, we've talked about tuition and how outrageous it is. And
the problem is supply and demand.
Well,
too many people, there's oversupply.
Oversupply of what?
Students. Everyone thinks they should go to college.
Okay, but I'm going to talk about the people that do go to college, need to go to college, because there's a good chunk of population that needs to go to college.
I'm certain there is.
And you know, the tuition is, even cheap tuition ain't cheap no more.
No.
So let me tell you what inspired me. I read this week, and I've known this in the back of my head, but it inspired me to talk about it this week. It's about the college president's compensation. Oh. Packages. Some of them remind me of the CEOs on Wall Street. You know, the too big to fail concept? They just think that they should just keep paying the presidents mm-hmm. because whatever. And
how is that a too big to fail?
Well, you know what I'm saying? They just think business goes on as usual, regardless of the fact that, you know, they can't afford to pay the guy this much money. The students...
They can afford to pay them. They're charging these kids
well, that's
money.
The problem. The students are beginning to revolt, and there's new technology on the horizon, which we're going to talk about, to undo...
Talking about University of Phoenix?
Well, among other things, that's the beginning of it. That's the beginning, but now it's caught on. And it's called... there's two new programs out that came out this past month. One of them is called Coursera, and the other one is edX. So let me talk about this first guy first. So here we got this guy who's probably the highest paid president in the university system in the country.
Is that NYU?
No, he's from Ohio State. Ohio State University.
I heard Ohio as a state has the greatest student loan debt in the country.
The greatest being the highest?
Yeah. The people graduating from universities in Ohio come out with the greatest student loan debt.
Well, according to the article that I read, they come out the average graduates with $32,000 of
debt. Other schools in the state, I read another article about some girl who graduated from Northern Ohio University or something, and she graduated with $120,000 in debt.
Well, is that... Did she undergrad. Not go to a state university?
It was a private school.
All right, private school. Okay, well, let me tell you about...
tell me about this guy.
Mr. Gee. Okay, he's been the president of a number of universities, and he's back at Ohio State, and he's the premier guy.
What do they do?
Well,
what does the president of a university do?
He steers the university to all the different programs that they offer in, and fundraising and connections.
How much more fundraising do you need?
Well, anyway, can I? Just well,
you. I'm just saying. All right, question. If you're charging someone enough money to cover your costs,
not enough.
How is it not enough?
Now some of these colleges, these universities, go out and get a debt. They go and borrow money. They get bonds.
How is this possible? What are they doing?
And Wall Street's involved with it. They rate the universities as far as what their ability to pay back. So when you got Wall Street involved with the universities, you know you're in trouble, okay? So this guy, he makes $2 million a year, his compensation package. $2
million a year. Is it a state-run university?
State university system. Mm-hmm. He knows now that the dollars are drying up from the state, and they're going to be drying up from the federal government, so they're in a quandary. Where are we going to get the money from? We can't just keep asking the students to pay the tuition.
I don't understand. How are they in a quandary? They have like 60,000 students who go to Ohio State University. Mm-hmm. They have successful athletic programs across the board. They have free talent there where they get to make a lot of money off these people. I'm sure it's not more than like $25,000 to $30,000 a year for a student.
It's $30,000 in state.
Out of state, God knows what it is.
Yeah, they're trying to recruit.
So you're looking at 60,000 students a year paying 30.
But not all of them might not be.
I understand.
It's not a lot of them get financial aid.
That's because they shouldn't be in school in the first place.
Because they're poor?
Well, no. There's too many kids going to school.
Okay.
So whatever. You shouldn't have.
I'm not doing the math.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
But I'm just saying, ballparking it. With 60,000 times 30,000. I don't even know how much that is.
Probably 18 billion or million.
It's well over a million.
18 million.
Maybe 18 million, 180 million. I don't even know.
Yeah,
Joe,
too many
calculate
zeros.
That.
Too many zeros.
Money. So you're making this much money a year. How much staffing do you need?
Well, that's it. In order to run a university with 60,000 students, it's expensive.
This doesn't even include the athletic programs.
And because they keep updating the campus. They spend money on all sorts of new programs. Technology costs a lot of money.
Let me finish.
And they're notorious, not just the university, the Ohio State University. They're notorious for not cutting back programs
exactly.
that no longer work. They duplicate a lot of efforts. The state Ohio State University system has a number of schools in this system, and there's all this duplication and triplication in every university. So now someone is actually looking at it as a business endeavor and saying, wait, we can save some money doing
everything
certain
things. Everything has to be
looked
things. At as a business
no
endeavor.
No kidding.
No matter what
but,
it is.
You know, things like universities have been exempt from that. I'm telling you, it was business as usual. And they passed the cost on to the students.
Of course.
And now the revolution is. Now the revolution. There's a lot of chatter about we can't afford to send our kids to college. The debt they're
what do
loaded
you do?
With. Well, there's cheaper colleges, or now there's a new thing called this online courses. And University of Phoenix was the first one to come out with it. It was kind of somewhat of a joke, but it's not a joke. It's been around for 20 years, yeah. over 20 years, and it has been a formidable way of getting college credits for some students. It's, you know, as most of you know, it's an online program, so you study online, you take tests online, you get a grade, and you get a degree.
Mm-hmm.
You are matriculated.
The problem I have here is, though, it's the name now. Most of these universities, you're paying for a name.
That's right.
That's all it really is right. at this point, because the education
Correct.
Is pretty much the same across
well,
the board.
Well, it's not. There are
maybe
some
a little bit better.
There are some professors
but
that are
saying
better,
they
right?
are, but for the most part, you know, you pay a little bit more for a better education. But even still, like, Ohio State University probably has the same professors at a local community college you can probably get mm-hmm. and probably get the same kind of education.
Yeah.
It's all about how much you want to put into it, no matter what at the
yeah,
end of the day.
That's true.
The student's effort
we
is going to really...
We know that.
Understandable. But when you get out of, say, the University of Phoenix compared to Ohio State University, the Ohio State University looks a little bit better on your resume,
right.
so now you have to pay a little bit more money. So the difference there is, are you going to pay to get that step ahead a little bit?
Right.
Or are you going to work your ass off a little bit more just because you have this degree from somewhere else?
Okay.
It's whether or not people can open up their minds on the next level after graduating college.
And it also, if they can afford it. Frankly, there's some people who cannot get the debt and
no,
pay that back.
What I'm implying is the people after you graduate college who are hiring you,
yeah.
whether they can wrap
you
their
have
heads
to convince
around
them.
That, you know what, a University of Phoenix degree is just as good as Ohio State University or any of these other schools.
Well, the real deal is, we've always known this, that it's all the connections you make in colleges, too. You go to some of the more prestigious colleges.
It's all about networking.
You're hobnobbing with a whole different class of people than you are at a local community college or state university. But years ago, I remember there was a study done, and the graduates of state universities, generally speaking, had more successful careers and successful lives than people who went to the more expensive colleges because they're used to working hard.
So why wasn't I allowed to go to a state university?
You were allowed. You chose to go to Fordham.
Oh, cool.
So can I now talk about this new thing that's going on? So University of Phoenix started it, and now there's a new experiment going on. These two professors out of Stanford, they made a class available at no cost online. They drew more than 100,000 enrolled students.
For one class?
For one class. 13,000 completed the course. That's pretty impressive. And
why didn't people complete the course? What kind of course was it?
It was some sort of technical computer kind of course, I believe, scientific course. They knew they were onto something, and they got some venture capitalists out in the Silicon Valley to invest, and they created $16 million into Coursera. So then this year, they now expanded the program to about 35 or 40 classes. And there is a small cost involved. It's like $100. Sometimes it says $100. Sometimes it doesn't say
anything. Well, at that point, if you're getting 30,000 kids...
You're getting a certificate.
At 100...
It's not a matriculated class.
No, I understand.
Right.
But as long as it's respected once you graduate, what's the difference between a university degree and a certificate?
Well, the deal is the certificate is just for completing that course. You're not getting any sort of a degree. But it's a lot of people who are not necessarily college students. They're people who are
postgraduate work and stuff like that.
Looking to enhance.
I understand. But even still, like most colleges, you don't need half the crap you're learning in college in order to do your job after college.
True. That's true.
And half the time, most kids who go to college don't even do anything that they... with their degree after they graduate.
And the best thing about this is you're dealing with these two professors who have an incredible reputation. So you're taking a class from a lecturer or professor that knows the subject, knows how to teach it, as opposed to, you know, your run-of-the-mill professor at a local college, and you don't necessarily get a whole lot out of their coursework.
As long as you design the course correctly, that people can learn as much as they possibly can learn, then I don't understand the difference.
So this guy, this professor, Ng, that's mm-hmm. his...
Ng.
So he realized that he's a very successful professor out at Stanford, and he was reaching about 400 students a semester. And he realized that he needed to expand his reach, and so him and this other professor dreamt this project up, and lo and behold, it's enormous success. Along comes, along comes another program, and this is done a little different, to set up as a non-for-profit. See, these guys are in the business now. They're trying to figure out how to make this a viable business. Mm-hmm. There's another couple of people merged, I think it was Stanford with MIT, and they are a non-for-profit, and they got funded through some grants and things mm-hmm. like that, and they're doing the same thing. They're putting their premier professors out there, and these people are enrolling from all around the world. People are lining up to take these programs just because the reputation's incredible. The course is, you know, probably pretty good, most of it. You know, it's not perfect yet. And so now the two programs are expanding and figuring out very quickly what to do next. Engaged a bunch of other schools. Harvard's now involved. University of Pennsylvania's involved. You know, all the top flight schools. Like I said, most of it originally was in the computer science and scientific fields, but now they're expanding to philosophy, and they're expanding to social sciences and English literature. So I was reading all this today, and I'm saying, well, how do they test the papers? Because you get a grade,
of course.
You submit homework.
What's
and
the
you
difference
get,
between taking a test online?
Well, it's easy to do a multiple choice.
Even an essay.
Well, an essay now, how do you mark it? You can't mark 100,000 papers. You can't hire enough people to mark a composition or uh-huh. an essay. So they've also developed some software where these engineers have figured out how to grade compositions and essays.
Just on grammar?
I don't really know how it's working, but it's a beginning, so there's no way that anybody could possibly hire enough people to read 100,000 essays.
Well, you can't do 100,000. You know,
no,
it's just
it's not possible.
An exorbitant amount.
So, but this is where these programs are going. These are where the programs are going. You know, these courses are getting very, very popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they need to figure out a way, because not all subject matter can be tested multiple choice.
No offense, but even grading like 100 or 200 papers that most professors grade anyway,
they don't do a great job.
I don't think
either.
They're doing a great job.
That's
so
true.
It doesn't even matter. Like,
well, they have this new. So they're working on all the aspects, and I think, you know, we're at the beginning of something. I think going to college is probably a 20th century concept, and the 21st century, it's going to be a whole different experience.
Two things.
Yes.
I think it would work for a lot of math, science, even like anything analytical, where you can just do multiple choice or
yes.
do short responses, which are not hard to grade. The only thing that is a downfall is socialization and
that's right.
the relations between students, developing
teachers,
that kind of like
right.
not even the teachers, just like
the
that,
socializing
that classroom dynamic where you're learning, but so exchanging ideas.
But I don't think that this online programs are going to replace universities as we know it. You're still going to have to go to classes, and the teachers in the classrooms can assign these videos, so to speak, to the instead, you know, like homework, and they could come in and they could discuss it and they can have the one-on-one. There's also an option, all the classes have the ability for you to pose questions, and the people who are online,
like an online forum.
Online forum, rate the question, whether it's a good question or bad question. So the good questions rise to the top and the bad questions fall down below. And they say the average response time is 22 minutes to get a response to your question, which is pretty good. And that's 24 hours a day because...
24 hours a day?
Well, of course, because people in Egypt are, you know, 10 hours ahead of us, and people in Japan are 12.
That,
so they're just... So there's that many people online doing this.
The only downfall for that would be is, say, I had a question here. Someone had a question in Egypt, so they're 7-8 hours ahead of us. I'm not going to be able to see that if there's a lot of questions in between.
Well, they rate the questions, and I think the answers are going to be posted there too. So
no, but I'm saying if there's 100 questions, I won't have time to read every response and question.
No, you won't, right.
So that's the only downfall of that.
Well, maybe when you start typing in, there might be an indication that question's been answered already or something. Who knows?
Or what if I wanted to just read what everyone else is thinking? It'll take forever just to read everything.
Well, you know, you'll see. So anyway, it's a perfectly new way of going to school. And let's take a moment now. Let's think about it and come back and wrap this up. Okay, we'll be right back.
Your life, plot it out in black and white. Well, I never lived the dream of the prom kings and the drama queens. I'd like to think the best of me is still hiding up my sleeve. But I'd love to tell you, stay inside the light.
Man, I need a new computer. I guess I'm going to have to go to the Apple Store.
What? Don't go to the Apple Store. Go to TechServe.
What's TechServe? I thought Apple Store was the only choice.
No, you're crazy. TechServe is so much better than the Apple Store. They're New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. Plus, the store is really cool. You got to go check it out. They're located at 119 West 23rd Street.
Well, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
TechServe is a proud sponsor of HeritageRadioNetwork.org. For more information, visit TechServe.com. That's TechServe.com.
Okay, Flash Talks Cash. We're back. We're talking about the 21st century tuition revolution.
I think they should keep it in a classroom format, like 35 to 40 people per unit or something like that. Maybe in 50 to 100, just so it's easier to control. Like, you know, you have a certain forum, so it's not as overwhelming if you're doing 100,000 people. Then a lot of things would get lost. Where, you know, if you need that one-on-one answer, then maybe someone else isn't getting the answer to the question. I just think you would be able to have a lot more classes, a lot more convenient for a lot of people that they could fit into their time. If you can do 24 hours a day at that point, and, you know, it's the same kind of subject. And then if you want to intermix that with regular, normal classes, it would really keep costs down on building and lands and things like that. Yeah. Teachers, you know, and just...
And make it an alternative to what we know as college today. Well, it's an idea. I think they are addressing the problems as they come up. One of the things they have to figure out is how to make money because, you know, they can't make money at $100 a pop. And one of the things they're doing is trying to recruit employers. And this way there'll be a job placement program and the employers will call up and say, look, I need somebody who's really good at, you know, this kind of programming or this biotech kind of
I think they just funnel it into colleges because at this point, then you don't have to pay for the space. The actual physical space is really what's most of the cost at this point is the land, utilities,
and the labor.
Housing.
And labor.
But the labor can be decreased because you can spread it out over 30 people instead of just one teacher.
Right.
And like over the same amount of time, they have like 30 professors handling all these things.
So
there isn't going to be exactly the same
level,
but what's the difference at this point? Because it's not the same level anyway. Like, one professor could be really good, another professor could be really bad.
Right.
But if you have that kind of mix, then it's a much better, I think, overall effect than...
So you think this is a good concept?
I think anything that's going to drive the cost down, because at this point, it's just ridiculous.
Well, you could drive the cost down and do a lousy program. This sounds like it's got possibilities.
You need a good program or else it's not really going to hold water, and you're not going to actually have people coming back. But at this point... Going to college is like $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
Most people coming out of college don't make $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
So you have 4 years of $50,000 a pop. It's $200,000. How much of that is going to be offset by how much money you have?
Yeah.
Student loans and stuff like that.
Right.
Maybe you're getting 20-30% off that. You're still looking at, you know, 30 to 40 grand.
Okay, well,
a year?
Well, maybe,
that's $100,000.
Maybe you'll go back for your MBA.
No, what's the point?
And then you could take online classes. Okay, we're going to finish that discussion. Now I'm moving on to the next one. After you graduate college, what is the next big event in your life? Generally speaking, getting married, right?
Whoa. Why are you putting marriage on everybody?
I'm not putting marriage on
you
anybody.
You are.
I have a
You just made a generalization saying, what's the next big step? What if I don't want to get married?
Generally speaking, I said, people graduate college and a few years later, they're onto the marriage track. And now...
What's a few years later?
Exactly.
I don't have a number. And now the same-sex marriage is going to be popular. So there's no excuse. Anybody and everybody could get married now. So what do you think's been going on now? The tuition costs are sky high and people are revolting. Guess what's happening to the cost of weddings? It's going down. We have reached the peak. At least that's what they say. And they say that now, do you know how much the average wedding costs in 2011?
$35,000.
$25,000. That's a lot of money. So where are they saving money?
Is that really, though?
I think that's a lot of
for one
day?
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of money. So what's the trends going on in weddings? Trending down.
How does this have to do with student loans? What is the correlation?
No, I moved on to something else now.
You're just jumping around.
I moved on to another topic.
What has nothing to do with the other? I just wish you would have told me about this. I would have had more research done.
Well, I'm going to give you the research that I found, okay? Now, how do you drive the cost of a wedding down? What are some of the things that you could do?
Just have less people at your wedding.
Right. Number one, invite fewer people. That's the first thing you do. What else can you do?
Seriously, there's plenty of things you can do. Like, honestly, is this the number nuts or is
it? No.
You just ask me questions.
I'm asking you a question.
Just, you might be
getting married someday. So
someday.
Someday.
I'm going to have my wedding at your house.
On a Sunday and not a Saturday.
I'm going to have my wedding at your house.
It's cheaper on a Sunday than a Saturday. I ignored what you just said.
Why?
I'll be happy to have you get married in my
house. That's another way to drive down costs.
That's another way. You can wait till you get married, and the older you are, I think the less you tend to spend on your wedding.
So that means we should wait.
Well, if you want to save money.
As you go on longer, you usually pay for your own wedding. Whereas when you're younger, usually the parents are paying for the wedding. So it's a lot easier to throw money around.
Let's get that right.
So people are getting married later. And now the parents are like, you can afford your own wedding. So that's why people
are going
down.
Well, after they pay for all that college tuition, they've run out of money.
Exactly. So that's the other correlation here. Let's be realistic here.
And destination weddings are on the decline. People are getting married closer to home. Andrew's going to get married in the home. He's going to save even more money.
I'm going to do it at my house.
Okay.
Jack, you're invited. Not Joey, though.
Damn, dude.
I haven't known Joey long enough.
All right.
Well, stick around. He's not getting married too soon, Joey. Don't worry about it. If you stick around long enough, you might even become his best man. Who knows? Okay.
Wow. Thanks, Mom. That's really, really nice. Apparently, I have no friends. Jack, were you going to shoot me down to the best man?
No, man. I'm there.
Thank you. See, I already have Jack in line. Why do I need Joey? No offense, Joe. You're a good second, but you know Jack.
All right. Can we go on to how I'm
having
to save money?
I'm having Jack love right now. He's in the booth. I haven't seen him in a while.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Can I throw him a few compliments?
All right.
He's the president.
President, yeah, he's the big shot. Okay, so how else can you save some money?
Pictures? Have Jack DJ.
Pictures.
Jack's DJ.
Have Jack DJ.
Have one of the guests be the DJ. I owe you a solid, man.
There you go. Jack's DJing, best man in it. I got it all covered.
Okay.
Are we done here today?
No, I got a number nuts for you, okay? You ready?
I'll make the cake.
Oh,
really?
See, Joey earned his way in. He's going to make the cake.
All right, look at my wedding. It's going down across cost already. We're going right to number nuts. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay, boys. This is time for you to guess the answer. It's not a number, but it's associated with numbers. Last week, we had a long talk about the economy, the U.S. economy, the European economy, and I wanted to follow up, and I wanted you guys to figure out where is the lowest unemployment. We know the unemployment in the United States is hovering 8, 9, 10%.
At least.
Yeah. So want to know, where in the world can you get a job much easier than the U.S.?
Germany.
I'm going to give you some. I'm going to give you some multiple choices.
Germany. Fine. I'm going with Germany.
Well, I didn't get to G yet. I got an A country.
Angola.
Australia or Austria? Which has lower
Australia.
Unemployment?
Austria.
Australia.
All right.
Jack's retarded.
Austria or He's still Australia? My best man, though, buddy. One and one.
Austria.
Austria. And so the answer correctly is Austria.
Damn, Jack, you're smarter than me.
Okay. Now here's another one. Is it lower unemployment?
Belgium.
In Belarus or in Bhutan?
Bhutan.
Wait, do you know where Belarus is?
Belarus. Yeah, it's in the Eastern Bloc.
That's right. It's a former Russian country.
Bhutan.
Bhutan or Belarus?
Bhutan.
Well, Jack, you're right again.
Where's
it's Belarus.
Bhutan?
Bhutan is down in Southeast Asia. Down
is
in China.
Is that really in Bhutan? Is that where it is?
Okay, here we go. Is the unemployment lower in the Congo or in China?
China.
Congo.
Oh, you guys can't agree on anything.
No.
This time, Andrew's right. China is the answer.
Yeah, I'm smart. Yeah.
Is the unemployment lower in Jamaica or in Japan?
Japan. Right near the beach, boy.
It's got to be Japan.
Japan? Yeah. You're not going opposite, Jack?
No.
All right, you're both right. It's Japan this time.
Have you ever been to Jamaica? All I do is smoke weed and hang out on the beach. Like, really?
I gave you that one. Okay. Is the unemployment... This is a hard one, I think.
Are you making up the two countries? Or?
No, I got one answer, and I made up the other country.
All right, what if you make up a fake country?
No, I didn't make up any fake country.
I know you haven't yet, but I'm waiting for the day.
Montenegro or Monte Carlo? Where's the unemployment lower?
Where's Monte Carlo?
You know where that is. It's right next to Italy on the Mediterranean.
I'm going with Monte Carlo.
Yeah, me too.
Nah, the answer's Montenegro.
Really? Wait, that Caribbean island?
Monte Carlo. Do you know in Monte Carlo you have to have a certain net worth to become a citizen?
Exactly. Yeah. So they're all employed somewhere.
That's what I was figuring.
But they probably don't work.
Oh, they have money.
Oh, you just that go means, there when you
yo,
have
rich
money and you don't
wait,
work.
So rich people don't count as employed? Like, if I'm, like, super rich.
Well, you wouldn't
like,
collect
like
unemployment. You don't work.
I'm a Rockefeller. You're listed as unemployed? I think that number's knocked out. Well, I think Monte Carlo has the lower unemployment.
Okay.
I don't even think that's the name of the country.
It is the name of a country.
Damn
so,
it.
Okay, what about Tibet or Thailand? Which is lower unemployment?
Who gives a shit?
That's not a good answer.
Wow. It's.
Who cares?
I think both I'm going to say holes. Tibet, actually.
Tibet.
That's great. I'm going with Jack.
Jack. Well, unfortunately, it's Thailand. You know, they got enough
Do
sex workers
count?
There, right?
That's what I'm saying?
They have a lot of sex
like
workers.
Year old
no unemployment,
counts.
Right?
Sex workers.
That's terrible, isn't it? Okay.
We're making some bad jokes here
The
today.
Ukraine or the United Arab Emirates?
I have no idea. Who cares? Literally,
Joe
who cares?
Says UAE.
UAE. I'm going with Joe.
Joe. And what do you say, Jack?
I'm going with Joe.
Joe smart.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, boys. It's the
Damn
Ukraine.
Damn it, Joe. Joe, you suck.
Okay.
Yeah, Joe, shut up again. In there.
Here's the last one.
That's why you're number two, Joe.
Here's the last one.
Go.
Venezuela or Vietnam?
Vietnam.
Venezuela.
Vietnam.
What do you say, Joe?
Joe, shut up, Joe.
No, Joe. What
Joe,
do you
shut
say,
up. Don't
Joe?
Say anything, Joe.
Venezuela.
Well, the answer is Vietnam.
Of course it is.
All
Are we
right,
done?
Boys.
Can I go
Andrew
home?
Wins.
Andrew, I do win.
Andrew won this one. All right, boys. Listen. So now you know where you can get a job, or tell your friends if they can't find a job. You
Are
know
you
where to
Google
tell
Muga?
Them. Okay. What do
Are
we
you
say?
Going to Google Muga?
What's Google Booga?
Google Muga.
Yeah, we'll know. Be there. Heritage Radio will be there.
Really? Can I get a ticket?
We'll see.
Hard to get a ticket, huh?
It's tough, man.
All right, guys. We're gonna sign off and see you next week. Take care.
On the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.